sermon this evening. It comes from Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the knave, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Pray with me. Our God, thank you for your words of truth. Thank you for wisdom here. God, bless us and give us good understanding that you would be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, or many of you know, 2 weeks ago, I was taking the nap of the covenant. I rolled over and went to put my arm around my wife, and I had this shooting pain through my right shoulder that went to a level 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. And it didn't go away unless I stood, not sat, or laid, stood exactly like this. And anything other than this, I was literally calling out in pain. Well, it ended up, and I went to the ER later in the week. I ended up going to my doctor. Later in the week, I ended up going to my chiropractor. And it turns out I've got a serious strain, almost a tear, maybe impossibly a tear in one of my muscles here. Well, it's taken a whole lot of effort for me not to do things. Well, one day I took my children to the bicycle park, and as we were at the bicycle park, I'm watching them pedal around, and I'm thinking about this muscle, the sublateralis, and it does this. The arm comes down, and the arm goes back, and that's all that muscle does in rotating. So I'm looking at the bicycle, and I'm thinking, I could ride a bicycle. It wouldn't hurt my sublateralis. Doesn't do that. So I try it. I mean, my kids are having a good time, and I'm jealous. So I get on the bicycle, and I'm pedaling around thinking, this isn't hurting my sublateralis at all. This is pretty good. And there was a small jump that was about 2.5 feet high, and I thought, my sublateralis does this. I should be fine on that small jump. That won't hurt my sublateralis. So I pedaled over, and I hopped this thing, and it was fine. I thought, wow. So I started looking at this half pipe. I'm looking at the half pipe and I'm thinking, I don't think that would hurt my sublateralis. I'll just go a quarter of the way up. And I went a quarter of the way up and it was fine. I thought, my sublateralis seems okay. And I thought, maybe I could go halfway up the half pipe. And I tried that and it was fine. And I thought, maybe 3/4. I tried that and it was not fine. I crashed this bicycle and I tore open my leg and I'm there and thinking, this was so stupid. This is ridiculous. And I sit down and I'm studying the Proverbs as my children are riding bikes. I'm sitting there working as I do this. And the idea of how important Proverbs have always been in history, that it was used to impart wisdom to children. And I sat down and I thought, and I'm hurting so bad, I thought I need to pass something on to my children from this. And I penned a proverb of Micah. And this proverb is that a foolish stunt gives glory for a moment, but wise restraint gives health and healing for many days. And I thought that was pretty good. You know, that sounded great. And I brought my sons over and I shared it with them and I texted it to my other son. I said, here it is, guys, you know. And then that night there was Kung Fu class. And I thought, I could go to Kung Fu class, you know. I could just watch. And I got there and it turned out I couldn't just watch. I could just do the warm-ups. Turns out I couldn't just do the warm-ups. And that night and the next morning, I was hurting so bad, despite the reality that I had this wonderful proverb. You know, a foolish stunt gives glory for a moment, but wiser's drink gives health and healing for many days. I found myself foolish. I found myself lacking restraint. I found myself lacking health and healing for many days. You know, we have all had these proverbs. They've been before us. We've had them. Many people have quoted them to us. We've considered ourselves wise. But as we look here and as we're going to be exploring the idea, just writing a proverb doesn't make somebody wise. Having a proverb doesn't make somebody wise. But it's the observance of a proverb that demonstrates wisdom. Now, as I've done my study here, and I'm seeing my own need for wisdom, and I'm sensing an urgency to impart wisdom to my children, and sensing an urgency to present wisdom to all of you, that you would be blessed, and that you would be cared for, that you would know what it means to walk in wisdom and walk in truth. I made a discovery, and I know I'm not the first person, but even the word proverb, it means mashal. The word is mashal, and it means to govern. A proverb is a word that means to govern or to rule. You know, these short sayings have been given to us for the purpose of governing us, for the purpose of ruling us, that we would have understanding and that we would walk in an understanding in our lives. Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey?" So the idea then is we'll be slaves to foolishness, or we'll be slaves to proverbs, we'll be slaves to wisdom, or servants of wisdom, that we would be able to walk in truth, to walk in this love of God. Now, many people have speculated that you can actually judge a whole society or judge a whole culture based on their proverbs. The things that they say, the things that they cling to, the things that they would believe, the things that would govern their lives. Now, Satan has his own proverbs. And if you sat and you put some time into it, you could figure them out. You would know the proverbs of our culture. Cultures have proverbs. The wicked, they have their own proverbs. And their sins against God and their things that are against religion, these proverbs. I remember when I was first saved and I started having a zeal for keeping the Sabbath. And I had a cousin, and my cousin, he had something that he bought and he wanted to take it back and he wanted to do it that day. And I was like, nah, don't do it today. You know, set this day apart. Make this a day about the Lord. And his dad got angry, and his dad said, "You do it. Get it done." And I said, "Hold on. It's the Lord's day." And his mother responded, "Times change, Micah. Times change." And that was her proverb to trump reality, to trump truth. Times change. And there's all kinds of proverbs out there that are against reality, against truth. But we must endeavor to have Christ's proverbs to be our own. Now, as we would consider Solomon, and we're going to look a little more closely at this, we're not even into our moves yet if you're going through an outline. Matthew 12:42, it says, "The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." And this is what we're exploring here a bit. "To hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here." So we're not taking the Proverbs and we're not setting them up as this is it. You know, this is the foundation for life. Something greater than Solomon came, something greater than the Proverbs, and that's Jesus Christ. When these Proverbs are brought to you, it's not as if I can give them to you and this is salvation. Or that I can give these to you and that's the end of it. But we take these things and we consider them in the light of Hebrews 12:5, for example. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him." You see, these proverbs come in this context. And again, verse 8 of Proverbs 1, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." The idea here is that God, after having saved you, God, after having brought you out of darkness, after having split your shackles apart, He looks at you in the context of life, in the context of the Christian life, and then gives you instruction. If my children were to go off camping by themselves for the first time, there would be instructions that I would give them. Instructions to keep them safe. Instructions for them to be prepared. Instructions for them to not damage the woods beyond what was absolutely necessary. No, proverbs are given to you for instruction, for safety, so that we would live our lives well inside of the Christian context. And they're not just something that's kind of thrown out there to pick up and take or not to take. But this is the picture of wisdom, and that is the opposite of foolishness. I try to get my bulletin information to Lois Thursday morning. That's my goal, and that keeps me being prepared and working along being prepared. Then she can get the bulletin together, and if you look, the best I could do for the sermon title was Proverbs 1. That was the best I'd come up with by Thursday morning. And later on, I sent her another email that if you hadn't printed the bulletins yet, we'll call it Don't Be a Fool. Don't be a fool. That sounds harsh. And it is harsh. But the reality is, to reject God's wisdom is utter foolishness. It's foolishness. It's to live as a fool. And what we are seeing in the Proverbs as we look at them is exactly what it looks like to live in the Christian life. Exactly. You know, wisdom is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. I mean, if you've ever worked with someone who's done their job for a long time and knows the ins and outs of it and has all the right tools, there have been times that I've tried to work on my car and tried to work on my car and tried to work on my car, and it's been chaos and it's been hurtful and my knuckles bleed and I hate it and I break more things than I fix. But then if I take it to someone who knows what they're doing, and I just see them go to it as easily as if they were walking. They've got all the tools that they need, and they've got all the wisdom to pull things off. That's what we look at in the Proverbs. These instructions for life. The tools that we need to walk in accordance with wisdom, to walk in accordance with truth, to really, really walk in the Christian life. So, we must see our need for these instructions and we must embrace them. It's throwing off foolishness and it's embracing wisdom. So that'll be the message for tonight. To throw off foolishness and to embrace wisdom. All right, Proverbs 1, our first move here. This first move is receive true wisdom from fallen men, fools, and hypocrites. Receive true wisdom from fallen men, fools, and hypocrites. That first verse there, Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. That first verse, humanly speaking, would be a reason to throw the whole book of Proverbs away. As we look at what Solomon became, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 11. He did exactly what God had told him not to do. He took many wives. He gave his heart to their false gods. And he worshipped those false gods. Now, I promise you that you could take every single one of my sermons, and you could evaluate my life, and you can find the ways that I have fallen short and the ways that I have been a fool. And if everything that I have said, if it hinges on my personal holiness, you would have to throw out every one of my sermons as well. Everything that I have taught, everything that I have said. As we look at this and we consider Solomon's failure, we must also consider the weight of Scripture. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21 says, "But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So we look here and we consider that Solomon, the reality of Solomon is, he was moved by God's Holy Spirit to pen these Proverbs for the purpose of the growth and the care and the direction of the church. You. And I find it striking reading these, and this is the reality of all Scripture, that the Holy Spirit who hovered over the surface of the water, the Spirit that is the Spirit of Christ as well as the Spirit of the Father, took men, preserved men, used their experiences and worked through them to pen things thousands of years ago. Solomon would have been in the 900s BC. And God preserved all of this for my instruction. For your specific instruction. So that you would know how to live. It was just a couple of weeks ago, Dick Seary came to me and he said, "I noticed that you never preach on the Proverbs." And I said, "No, I don't." I said, "It looks to me like they're just general principles to live by, and I don't see a whole lot of Jesus in them. I don't see a whole lot of grace in them, and really that's why I haven't preached on the Proverbs." And this led to more and more discussion with more people as I brought it up. And Sheila Robb, she pulled out 2 Timothy 3:16 for me, reminding that all Scripture is inspired by God and useful for instruction and teaching and for training in righteousness, that the man of God would be equipped, adequate for every good work. She Bibled me. We look here, even though this was penned by Solomon, we sing the Psalms even though they were penned by David. We embrace the law even though it was penned by Moses. And I want to challenge you in the course of your life as you would find yourself throwing off teachings from people because their lives don't perfectly line up with everything you think it ought to be. If they're speaking Scripture, we have an obligation to submit to Scripture. Many of us would throw off the teachings of even our parents, considering our parents weaklings or considering our parents hypocrites. We don't have that right. If they are speaking Scripture, they're not speaking their own word. They're speaking the words of Christ. Many of us would throw off the words of preachers. But if they're speaking Scripture, they're speaking reality, they're speaking the words of Christ. Many of us would throw off many people. But we embrace, and that's what this move is carefully labeled there, the first move, to receive true wisdom. True wisdom. Wisdom that is Scripture. Wisdom that is from God. Because that is receiving God's truth despite whatever vessel it's coming from. Now our next move, and we'll be moving to the third verse here, is grow in wise behavior, justice, and equity. Verse 3. To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteous, justice, and equity. In case you're wondering how that move got pulled out, there it is in verse 3. We can think of all of this in terms of how we look in Ephesians 4. Our lives are matters of putting off and putting on. There's things that we are constantly taking off in our life and things that we're constantly putting on in our lives. We're constantly taking off foolishness. We're constantly taking off emptiness. So as we look there at verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior. Well, the antithesis of that is foolish behavior. We'd be taking off foolish behavior. And we can look at our lives and we can find foolish behavior. Things we do that don't build up. Things we do that don't lend to growth, that don't lend to life. To receive instruction in wise behavior, in righteousness. That would be a matter of putting off unrighteousness and putting on righteousness. Now, the idea here is that we have lives that look like this. How many lives have you seen that are just simply emptiness? Emptiness. Lives that are utter futility. People that aren't chasing anything other than the next high or the next enjoyment. When I got to teach at White Lake, we were talking about the ideas of the things that we're looking forward to. And I asked the question, who's looking forward to a movie this summer or this fall? And everybody's hand went up, and I asked, great, what are you looking forward to? And they were able to tell me the name of the movie, and they were able to tell me the actors, and they were able to expound on it with such delight, what they were looking forward to and why they were looking forward to it. And I confess that there was one that I was looking forward to, one that I really wanted to see. And we were all excited, and we're all happy about these things that we were looking forward to. And I said, great. And I asked, now who's looking forward to the Sabbath? And they're like, wait, what? The idea that there's all of these empty things, things that aren't real, things that are not. And I put it in those terms, and look, this movie, this Wolverine movie that you're looking forward to and that I'm looking forward to. You know, we look at this and it's something that's not real. It's something that's not real. It's something that is not. It's something that's not true. And we are looking forward to it with a delight and with an anticipation. And I ask, and who's looking forward to the Sabbath? It was just a confusing thing. You know, there are these elements of life that are meaningful and deep and true. And Satan has gone about, and our culture has gone about, making things to be more exciting and real and seem more true than what is true, than what is real. Disney is really good at coming out with movies that children would just sit and stare at with their mouths open again and again. You know? And one of the ones that came out was Brother Bear. And Leslie and I were trying to be really diligent in the things that we showed to our children. So we sat down and we watched Brother Bear when it first came out. And the whole premise behind it was they took a false religion and made that false religion seem more real, exciting, meaningful and life impacting and true religion. That was the message. That's what they were bringing across. And so much of what is put out there in the culture is all about that. And here, Here we have Solomon, and we hear the Holy Spirit putting this idea out to us, that we're to receive instruction in wise behavior, in righteousness, and putting off unrighteousness, in justice and equity, lives that are about seeking reality, lives about truth. And I wonder what such a person would look like. Can you imagine such a person that put off falsehood? That was really about putting off fiction? It was about really embracing all that is true and righteous and wise, that their time and their hours were spent towards that growth. Well, that brings us to our next move, to seek wisdom. To seek wisdom. Verse 4, to give prudence to the naive, to the knave, to youth knowledge and discretion. Proverbs 10:13 says, on the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. James 1:5, and this is a familiar passage for many of us, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love that idea. I lack wisdom, and there have been times in my life where I have diligently prayed for wisdom. And I confess, one time early in my Christian life, I stopped praying for it because everyone around me started seeing me really stupid. I felt like, I must be getting too wise. I must stop praying for wisdom. I don't know that that's really what happened, but that was the way that I perceived the circumstances around me. This idea of wisdom, or prudence there, as it's used in verse 4. It's considered to be wisdom in practical affairs. It's considered that you would look at a circumstance in your life. Seeing that circumstance, you would have an understanding of how Christ would have you respond and act in that circumstance. That you could look at the affairs and you could look at the problems of life. And I almost think in terms of a math problem. You know, I look at a math problem and I don't know what to do with it. But if we look at a life problem, to know what to do with it is wisdom. The ability to look and to see and to know how God would have us act. And God's says in James 1:5 again, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. I think sometimes we don't ask because we don't want it. We would rather keep on embracing the emptiness. We would rather keep on embracing futility and to really understand what he would have us give up. Would it be that movie that we're looking forward to? Oh no. Heaven forbid. Would it be this game, or this book, or this concept? Would it be that? But he says, ask if you lack, and he will give it. Our fourth move is increase in learning. Proverbs 1, 5, and 6. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Matthew Poole says it this way, the proverbs teach a man to discern between truth and error, between good and evil, to choose the former and refuse the latter. To acquire wise counsel, this is as opposed to the school of evil and to foolishness, which has many scholars and teachers. And that was almost a funny concept to me as I was reading. We think in terms of, well, we have teaching elders. You know, we have teachers and we have our scholars. Well, the school of fools does as well. The school of fools has teachers. The school of fools has scholars. And I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. All you need to find them is to turn on the radio. Turn on the radio. Listen to the secular music. The things that they put forward as life. The things that they put forward as living. Just turn on regular television. You'll see a message taught that if you're smart enough, that if you're fast enough, if you're strong enough, you can pull all of this off without God. That is the message that's taught. An emptiness, a foolishness. See, we're not the only people with teachers. And the scary thing is that you wake up. And if you wake up and you're not in the scripture, if you wake up and you're in regular music or regular TV, if you're just driving down the road reading billboards, you're being taught. You're being taught. You're being taught the proverbs of fools. You're being taught emptiness and you're being taught deception. If you go through life and you're with people who aren't speaking scripture and speaking truth to you, you're being taught. The music that you listen to, you're being taught. Your mind is being washed and is awash in foolishness and emptiness and unlearning or learning curses and learning lies. But here it says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. And a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. I like that idea, wise counsel. You know, I grew up with this mindset that you're supposed to be independent. That you're supposed to be able to figure everything out for yourself and sort things out for yourself. And I was so liberated when I was saved. But I no longer had the sense that I had to sort everything out myself. In fact, when I got to the point where I thought it was time to propose to Leslie, and this must have been one of the seasons where I was praying for wisdom, what I did was I went to the 7 most godly people I knew, and I laid the situation before them, and I ask them for their counsel. You know, to seek wise counsel. And we don't figure things out for ourselves, and we're not left in shadow to figure things out. But we go to people. And I was struck by the wisdom of one of the young men that was worshiping with us when he said, "Hey, I've got some questions. When's the session meeting?" And I told him when the session meeting was. And he came and he sat down with the session and laid out the circumstances of his life and said, "These are the directions that I would like to go. I'd like to know what you men think." I was struck with awe by that wisdom. I was seeking the counsel of elders and wanting to walk in wise ways, to acquire wise counsel. Now as we move on here to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, this isn't one that originated with Solomon. It's something that struck me as surprising. Job 28:25. Here we have an account of creation and what was going on at creation in Job 28:25. When he, and this is Yahweh, when Yahweh imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and apart from evil is understanding." I get the sense that God said this to Adam. God said this to Adam in the very beginning. He said, "Listen, the fear of me, that is wisdom. To depart from evil, that is understanding." And this is what has been laid out for us. And our sixth move there is simply, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. God has laid out these guidelines. God has laid out these principles. God has shown you and is showing you exactly how He would have us to live. And as Solomon says in verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction. I set this before you and say, your God, your heavenly Father says, hear this. Hear this. Heed my instruction." So many of us, and myself included, I feel like I've been walking around with a blindfold on, having not embraced the Proverbs. But your Father has spoken. And He says, hear this. Your Father has spoken. He says, embrace wisdom. Don't be a fool. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And embrace understanding. And as we go through many of the Proverbs on our Sabbath evening, we'll see the many blessings that we are given with the wisdom that is offered here. So, as children of Christ, you have been called in life. Walk in the wisdom of Christ. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your many blessings and your great care for us. Now, Lord, bless us this evening as we continue to worship you and rejoice in who you are and what you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last psalm is Psalm 107.